And Shechter sometimes quotes that asked Rav Kook, Rav Yitzchak Kohen Kook, why are you so incredibly focused on Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is important. It's certainly an important concept in Yad, but you're so incredibly Eretz Yisrael centric. And Rav Kook is reputed to have responded. He said, how can I not be wild about Eretz Yisrael? He said, from Parshat Lech Lecha and on, there's almost not a sedra goes by that the Torah doesn't talk about Eretz Yisrael. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is incredibly focused on Eretz Yisrael from Lech Lecha and on. And that's certainly one of the significant turning points, the transitions from Bereishis and Noach to Lech Lecha, is certainly the focus on Eretz Yisrael. The focus on Am Yisrael. But there's another type of transition also. Up until this point, a lot of the stories were big picture stories. The one or two major event episodes in the life, in the hundreds of years of the life of Noach. The great event of the of Migdal Bavel Dor HaPlugim. They turn a corner into Lech Lecha, and the parshas that follow, and an incredible length of detail. Sometimes we scratch our heads and wonder, my high. Okay. They had to eat, they had to find food, they had to find water. But the Chumash has given us so many details, sometimes it's hard to know what to make of them. And then particularly, this, we begin a focus on hiking in Parshas Lech Lecha, multiple times. Avraham Avinu gets a tziv from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to head from Haran to Eretz Canaan. Later in the Sedra, soon after, he heads down to Mitzrayim to escape the famine. And Yibosham also is going to give Avraham Avinu a tzivoy to walk, to hike around Eretz Yisrael. Orko l'rachbo kilucha atanena. Hike the length and width of Eretz Yisrael. And how many people here have done the miyam liyam hike? Whether it was formally or informally, just with a couple of chevra. That's l'rachbo. To hike from the Mediterranean, of course, via Tzfat and Meron, obviously, all the way, depending where you're going, to the Yarden, to Kinneret. So, it's a couple of days hike. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Arvinu, you won't have to hike la'orka o l'rach. Not just the width of Eretz Yisrael, miyam liyam. You have to go la'orech Eretz Yisrael. That is weeks, if not months. That's a long... The pasuk reads very quickly. La'orka o l'rach v'kilchat. I'm going to give you Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu had so many jobs for Avraham Avinu to do. So, why is he telling him to spend a couple of weeks, a couple of months hiking Eretz Yisrael? Ma pitom, what's going on? I want to take a look at Ramban. Ramban, when the opening Ramban's in the Sedra. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav. It's a rare Ramban where he actually tells us, I'm about to tell you something really important. Kaseder, the Ramban will tell us something, things are incredibly important, and just sort of downplay them, you know, without any fanfare. And here, this must be even more important, because Ramban goes out of his way to tell us, Omar lecha klal, tovinoso b'chol ha'parshas habos, bin Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. I'm about to tell you a principle. You're going to use it, you'll see it at play throughout the upcoming parshios of the Avos. And he's not done. Who in Gadol is a major principle. The truth is, he has at least two major principles to tell us here. The first one is an Inyan Gadol his kirua b'sein b'derech tzara. It's something that Chazal mentioned in a very brief wording, but the Ramban is implying it's well, what more recent Svarim would call ma'at hakamas v'rav ha'echus. It's in quantity small, but in quality very, very great. It says, Chazal said in a few words, but this is a major, major idea. V'amru, kol ma she'ira la'avosim l'banu. Chazal tell us, in footnote 26, where Shavel sends you to Tanchuma, and that I believe is not the only source for this. Kol ma she'ira la'avosim l'banu. What happened to the avos is a simon for the children. The Ramban reformulates elsewhere throughout Chumash Reishis, Mas Avos Sim Labanim, four words. Masa avos tam labanim. The events that occurred to the avos, or the actions that the avos took, were a simon for how Jewish history would unfold. Almost as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sort of giving us like miniature versions of Jewish history yet to come in the lives of the avos.
That was the first principle?
Yeah. And he goes on to say, Ramban, this is something we need to unpack a little bit. He says, "V'chein yarichva kesuvim v'sipra masos v'chafiras habeiros v'shar hamikrim." And that's why the Chumash all of a sudden is so incredibly lengthy and verbose. All the details of, not all the details, but so many details of the traveling from here to there and from there to here. And about, we're going to read later about Avram and with Yitzhak, about the issues with water, with the digging this well and that well, getting to fight with the Plishtim, and then have to dig a different well, have to negotiate over water. Someone who's learning Chumash thoughtfully will say, this sounds very superfluous. Who needs this? Yeah, obviously. They needed to dig wells. They needed to drink. Well, why is that important for us? The Gemara tells us in Masechet Megillah, I think we may have touched on this earlier in the year, arguably one of the most fundamental Gemaras in terms of Derech HaLimud and Tanakh. The Gemara says that there were 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os mentioned in Tanakh. The Gemara says, but that wasn't the sum total of all the Nevi'im that the Jewish people enjoyed. The Gemara makes a comment that the Jewish people had over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish Nevu'ah, because Malachi, according to the Sefer Derech, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakh Rabbi Yossi's history, Malachi passes away exactly 1,000 years after Ma'amad Har Sinai. Ma'amad Har Sinai, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Ma'amad Har Sinai 2448. Malachi passes away, I believe, in 3448. So over the course of the 1,000 years of Jewish Nevuah, in the Midbar, and then a couple hundred years in Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua and the Shoftim before Beis HaMikdash, and then Bayis Rishon, and then Golos Babel, and they come back for the first number of years of the Bayis Sheni, with Chag HaZachariah Malachi, but of course, of 1,000 years of Jewish prophecy, Gemara says we had Klal Yisrael had Pishnaim Kiyotzei Mitzrayim, literally 1.2 million of you. Got to figure out if that's meant literally or not. But there were loads of Nevi'im, loads and loads and loads of Nevi'im over the course of those 1,000 years. You see in the Pesukim that it seems like it came and went. There were definitely periods of Pesukim tell us when there was not much Nevu'ah in Klal Yisrael, and other times when there was more. But some told there were so many Nevi'im. What we get in Tanakh, Gemara tells a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of a percent of the Nevu'ah that was transmitted to Klal Yisrael. So Gemara says, what happened? Why don't we have so much more? We don't even hear the names of most of the Nevi'im. And the assumption is, in the Mefarshim of that Gemara, based on what the Gemara says, that when the Tanakh names a Navi and includes his father, so the implication is that the father was also a Navi. That's how we get to the number 48 Nevi'im. So all those fathers, Yonah ben Amittai, Yishayahu ben Amoz, we don't have anything that Amoz said. We don't know anything that Amittai said. And some Nevi'im don't appear with their father's name. The assumption is that their fathers were not Nevi'im. So we have so little of the Nevu'ah that was transmitted to Klal Yisrael. Why? So the Gemara says an incredibly important rule. Nevu'ah shehutzur chodaros nichtava, Nevu'ah shelohutzur chodaros lo nichtava. The only things that make into Tanakh are Nevu'ahs that were eternally significant. That could be necessary for all the Doros. If it was most Nevu'ahs were relevant to the people then. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent that Nevu'ah to all of Klal Yisrael, to particular people, for a very good reason, but that reason was very important and entirely temporary. But then the Nevu'ah needed to be said, and it was said. That's it. But it doesn't get recorded in the Tanakh. The tiny, tiny fraction of Nevu'ahs that actually make it to the Tanakh are Nevu'ahs that were not only relevant at the time, but Nevu'ahs that are timeless. Nevu'ahs are relevant in every single dar. Nevu'ah shehutzur chodaros nechtava. That's the chalal. That line in Masechet Megillah is an incredibly important principle. When you look at Tanakh, you're always looking to see, what's the eternal significance? What's the meaningfulness of this line? there's a recognition that there's plenty, obviously, and logically, obviously, most of the things that happened over the 1,000 years don't make it to Tanakh, even particular episodes that appear in the Tanakh. You're not going to get every last detail. It's clear you're not getting every last detail. Look, 3,000 years ago, every conversation was only three lines long? Of course not. Right? But the things that not only most Nevuos don't appear in Tanakh, not only most episodes don't appear in Tanakh at all, even the episodes that do appear, you're only getting the clips that have significance L'chol HaDoros. That's a major principle learning Tanakh. So then the Ramban says, well, in that case, he doesn't reference it, but he was obviously very well aware of that Gemara. Then you look at Chumash Bereishis, and you wonder, why do we need to know all these details? What's the point of knowing that they dug well? They went here, they went there. Obviously, the story of the Akedah, that's very significant. Bris Ben Absarim, that's very significant. That we understand. Bris Ben Absarim tells us Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for Jewish history, and that Klal Yisrael would need to go into Galus in order to get Torah, in order to get Eretz Yisrael, and that's the truth is that's the rest of Chumash, in a certain sense, is playing out the Nevuah of Bris Ben Absarim. But not every story of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov seems so significant. Rabban says, it's a great question. Someone who's thinking about Chumash will wonder. Someone thinking about Chumash might mistakenly assume, hey, this is superfluous. Rabban says, it's a great question, and there's a great answer. Those stories are all coming to teach us about the future. That's interesting. Maisa Avos, similar Banim. And I mentioned when we got started, Ramban, that one of the things that distinguishes the Ramban, one of the distinctive features of his Perash HaTorah, is that he writes Hakdamas to Chumashim. I mean, now is he Pasuk, he's also interested in what's Shemos about, what's Vayikra about. And he's consistent about it. And one of the things he's consistent about is using this point. He said this is a major principle. He's not going to drop the mic. He's going to consistently return over throughout Chumash Bereishis to say, and by the way, this is an example of myself, a similar banim, and this corresponds to this story that appears, that happens a few hundred years later, and this is the foretelling, and so on and so forth. Myself, a similar banim, throughout Chumash Bereishis. And there are cycles of it. There are some things that happen to Avraham Avinu which are myself, a similar banim for Yaakov. For instance, Avraham Avinu goes down, as Ramban points out, Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. And they try to, and they're menacing about Avraham Avinu's wife. And that's foreshadowing, that's a Maisa of a similar banim, the fact that Yaakov and his sons are going to Mitzrayim. And then the Mitzrayim at that point also will be menacing to the Jewish women. And so, and Roshon will protect Sarah, protects them later. Okay, and then Yaakov is sort of on the cusp here. He's both banim and avos. There'll be things in Yaakov Avinu's life which are myself a similar banim for later, but he's also already, they're sort of the recipient of it. Avraham Avinu is living things which play themselves out as the secondary in the life of Yaakov Avinu. Now, banim is going to apply this principle, myself a similar banim, with great regularity throughout Chumash Bereishis. And then, if you're thinking like a Lamdan, you have to ask yourself, what? Did we actually answer any questions yet? You ask yourself, well, what just happened? You just reformulated. I had a question. The question is, why all these things in Chumash, why all these details are important? The answer is, I know they're important. Because myself is similar about him. These things all are miniature versions, preliminary versions of events that will happen later in Jewish history. But if you're thinking analytically, you say, how's that answer the question? The question was, what's the Toelos? The question was, why do we need to know this? Why is it written in Chumash? So you're telling me, well, my stuff is similar to mine. It's going to happen again later, so what do I have to know about now? And what does it even mean, my stuff is similar? It's going to happen later, happens later. Well, what's accomplished? What's Rebbe Shalom accomplishing by it happens earlier, it happens later? Well, what's this supposed to mean? What's this supposed to mean? So let's see where the Ramban goes from here. He introduces a second major principle. Let's see how he plays this out. We're in the fifth line. all these events that seem superfluous, they're here to teach you what's going to happen in the future. Ki ka'asher yavo ha-mikre le-navi, mishloshes ha-avos, when some event would occur in the life of one of the three avos, who were all Nevi'im, any one of those three Nevi'im, those three avos, yisbonei mimenu ha-davar nigzol avo lazaro, he would think deeply, what's the significance of this? And think about what is this foreshadowing. And why is it important? Rabban says, here's a second major principle. So first one is Maisav and Simon Labanim. The second one is a rule that not only helps us understand Chumash Bereishis, but a principle that explains a number of different episodes throughout the Tanakh, particularly in Nevi'im Achronim. Some in Nevi'im Rishonim also. Some in Chumash. Veda. Rabban says, you got to know the following. Kol Gzeres Irin. Any heavenly decree, kasher teitzi mikoach gezeira el poel dimyon, when it moves min hakoach el hapoel, that's an expression that Rishonim use. Min hakoach el hapoel is from potential to actual, from being just strength, something that could happen, el hapoel to action. When something is actually realized, but he says specifically mikoach gezeira el poel dimyon. And something moves from just being a gezeira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that X, Y, Z should happen. The Navi delivers a nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But if it's not only delivered as a prediction about the future, but there's a poel dimyon, you're acting it out now. Kia gezeira miskemes al kalpan. And that gezeira is reinforced. That nevuah is more powerful. It is not only delivered verbally, but it's delivered, it's acted out as well. And he says, once you understand that there's significance, there's power in a Navi miming, essentially, what it is that he's saying, actually acting out the words that he's saying, all of a sudden, wow, a whole slew of stories in Tanakh, now we understand it. Chin yasu ha-Navim, masiv v'nevuos. That's why Navim often will... There'll be some action connected to the nevuah that they're verbally delivering. Kamara Yirmiyahu, Shetivu Lavar, Yirmiyahu says to his Talmud, Baruch Ben Arya, you're finished reading the nevuah that's written on this piece of parchment, take Sharal of Evan, tie a rock to it, if you're a fisherman, you tie a sinker to that piece of parchment, Veheshlachto Tal Pras. You're going to throw it into the, toss it into the Euphrates River. Yamarta kafa tishka babel. You're going to say, so will babel sink. Right now, babel is very powerful. Babel conquered Eretz Yehuda and many, many other areas in the Middle East. Yirmiyahu's already given a nevuah that babel's days are numbered. Empire will last a couple of years, a couple more decades, but then they're going to be overcome by the Persians. And he doesn't just say it, he doesn't just tell Baruch to say it, he says, tell Baruch to say it, and also to act it out. Show them what it means, show them what it looks like. That's something actually, the nevuah actually literally sinks into the water, and Kafa Tishka, that's how Baruch is going to sink. And he talks about a story with Elisha, probably a famous one, maybe something was touched on in the past. The Navi comes to Shlomo HaMelech, one of the most famous ones. The Navi comes to Shlomo HaMelech, tell Shlomo HaMelech, Chatasa, David was a tzaddik, you have to commit a number of eras, and what you've earned is that the United Kingdom is not going to be united much longer. If you learn Sefer Shmuel with open eyes, you realize they have been different, Eretz Yisrael had been fragmented, the Shvatim are now all united under one political leadership. And one thing that Shaul sounds like was working on, and David succeeded in, is uniting Eretz Yisrael, all the 12 Shvatim under a single political leadership. Israel was a single country. Yehuda and Israel were combined. It was a single. So the Melech was king over all the Shvatim. His son Shlomo takes over. Navi comes to Shlomo and says, you've done severe chatayim, and the punishment is that Malchus is not going to sit together. Navi tells him, but Mishkos, your father, is not to be torn asunder under you. You'll remain king over all of Klal Israel, but your son, Navi tells Shlomo, your son Rechavam, he's going to be Melech Yehuda, but not Melech Israel. He's going to be Melech over the southern kingdom. But another thing, you learn to say, well, you know, from that point down, it's the
the sefer keeps going back and forth, split screen, in what's going on in the south, in Malchus Yehuda, what's going on in the north, in Malchus Yisrael, and the two separate countries. Sometimes even at war with each other, whether they're at war or allies, the two separate countries, Eretz Yisrael, is no longer united. Navi tells Shlomo, that's an onus to you. But they don't just tell him. He takes the piece of clothing and tears it apart to demonstrate the move. Yechezkel, full of Sefer Yechezkel, many, many examples of this. Yechezkel is told to do a whole host of different things, to make a model Yushalayim, to line his side, acting at the siege of Yushalayim. Hosea, the beginning of Hosea, the very beginning of Hosea, Hosea is the first of the Treasure. The beginning of Hosea, Chrysal at the time of Derry, this is when the Jews in the north, this is before Sancheirib destroyed the northern kingdom. So, they're very entrenched in Avodah Zarah. They finally faith with their Moshe. And Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Hosea to go marry a Zona. One of the most shocking, Masim, in Tanakh. So shocking, Rambam thinks this must have been Mara and Avu, he didn't actually do this. It's over in the Tanakh, and he actually did it. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a seaward to go marry a Zona. And you know you're going to be having children that may not be yours. Hers, they may not be yours. And it gives them names, Lo Ruchama, different names, and it's meant to, as the Pesukim can explain, it's giving expression to the way in which Klal Yisrael is faithless to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way in which Klal Yisrael is redone to dolls, and will ultimately achieve Kapar. So the question of all these activities, why did Navi have to act it out? Just say it. I would have maybe thought that it's pedagogical. Right? I could just read the words. If I show you on the board, if you get to see it, it's the audiovisual aids are much more powerful. And I would have assumed it's part of the Navi's presentation. And maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to use that presentation. That's the part of just the communication. Avant is not just better communication. It's actually doing something. When you don't just say the words, you act them out, it makes Nebuah stronger. It makes Nebuah and having developed this second concept of the Po'al Dimyon, we'll take a question, and then we'll see how Rambam brings it back here.
What does he say? I think you might have answered it, but once he's saying happens, what then goes after that? In the book itself, it would be better for the world. Because it wouldn't have been fulfilled beforehand.
That's a great question. See what I mean? If the Nebuah was without Po'al Dimyon, it wouldn't be powerful? Great question. Offhand, I would say at least two thoughts about that. Number one is that Nebuah may have been given without every single last detail of how it will play itself out. So if any given thing could play itself out in a more robust way or a less robust way. As an example, the Shvatim will be torn into two countries. But that could, there are many different ways that could look. Some of them are far more, they could be each other's throats the whole time, or they could be like an alliance. You know, they have their own government, their own kings, but they basically work together, or somewhere in between. And there could be different degrees of affiliation or alliance or lack thereof. So it could be, has to do with how the details of the world play out. Another thing is, the Gemara has a rule, this does not work in all cases, but this will work in at least in point to some of these. Gemara says, Gemara is a principle, the Rambam discusses in some length in his academic tradition, Mishnah. Gemara is a principle that Nebuah with Tova is in a Chazaris, but Nebuah runs Chazaris. If the Navi says something, positive, then that's absolute. And even if we have the fear of Hashem. Navi promises something good. It's happening here. And then we decide to go partying and clubbing and doing all their own things. And we no longer deserve the goodness that was promised. That's still going to happen. But that's if it's Nebuah for something positive. If it's Nebuah for something negative, Nebuah Ross goes there. Navi says that something terrible is going to happen. Yonah comes and says, Oh, not brought milk and didn't make it Fachas. His five word Nebuah. The Nineveh has 40 days left, they do tshuva, and it's reversed. So, could be that when there's a mass, perhaps sometimes it's a rule of the rub. It's in the chazan. It probably has to do with certainly with sort of the quality. Because how will it play itself out? What will it play itself out? How deeply will it play itself out? Those are the things I would guess. And now we put the pieces together. So we've come across a number of very, very important principles. Our mind gives a major yisod in understanding many, many episodes of the word Tanakh, the idea, the concept of Paul Dion. We couldn't have spoken about this. Did we talk about this before Rosh Hashanah? Some of the Achronim suggest that that might be the shot in the Simanim of Rosh Hashanah. There's in the Simanim of Rosh Hashanah, Gemara, we're Gemarians. We eat certain foods as a simon for a good year. So some layers farm ask this is all very nice, but it sounds like a very nice minute, which is also a violation of a lot of the rights of superstition. But because you eat dates, now the enemies will be ended. Because I had some honey love, Rosh Hashanah, I got a sweeter year.
That's simon.
So, yeah, so what does that mean? It's a simon. What does that mean? It's a simon. You're right.
It's a tefillin.
Ah, it's a sub, because I believe it's the same point I got. It says, it's really a tefillin. The point is a tefillin. All year long we daven verbally. That's the usual way we daven verbally. But Rosh Hashanah, we want to pull out all the stops. We want to daven Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin. So we ramp up our tefillah. How do we ramp up our tefillah? Number one, there's just good more of it. Number two, we daven with the shofar. There's so many indications of the shofar, not just the shofar, and it's a form of tefillah, and the wordless tefillah. And we even want to daven with the Paul Dinim. Not only we're going to daven verbally, we're going to strengthen our words of davening by acting out. The offer to do in shul is that we do it at home. That's what he said. And then the Sikha says, the ikra is the yiratzen. If you eat all the foods, but you forget to say the yiratzen, that's like the guy who asked the unlearned fellow to put up the mezuzah, and he puts up all the mezuzahs in the park building. And then afterwards they find a pile of cloth in the garbage. Runs taken out. The cloth and mezuzahs are in the garbage, taken out right away. And they say, well, what is this? Oh, well, I knew what to do, so I know how to put it up. So I threw in the instructions. I need the instructions. You're grabbing onto the top bowl and you're throwing it at the ikar. You missed the point. That's what Nesiva says. The ikar is the hirasim. The apple and the honey and the fish and the black-eyed peas and the dates, that's the tafel. That's an enhancer of the yiratzen. The main thing is the yiratzen. The main thing is the tefillah. You enhance your tefillah with, as Rabban says here, with a poel dimyon. Rabban talks about a poel dimyon enhancing words in the gula, and Chronim suggests that it also could potentially enhance words of tefillah, which is not something we usually do, but it is something that we access on Rosh Hashanah. And now we have this idea of the poel dimyon. And we opened before with the issue of the Nevuah Shehutcha of Zodoros. So he says, Afika hechzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Avraham Ba'aretz. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham a chazaka on Eretz Yisrael. Come back to that in a moment. V'asalo dimyonos b'chol he'asid v'he'asos b'zaro. And that's why he had him do Paul a dimyon, to act out different things about the others. That was a form of the episodes in the lives of the others that are recorded in Tanakh were typically meant as nevuas about Klal Yisrael. So that number one, all of a sudden, now we look at this at Bereshis very differently. Bereshis is the preview of Jewish history. The others were having both verbal and physical, kinesthetic nevuahs. They're acting out what was going to happen to Klal Yisrael. And one thing you should draw from that is a very powerful statement about Jewish history, in the sense that it didn't just happen to happen to me. It didn't just happen to happen to us.
Kadosh Baruch Hu has been, Kadosh Baruch Hu has been writing the story of Jewish history for a very long time. The stories of Jewish history were already written 3,500, 4,000 years ago. Kadosh Baruch Hu is very, very deeply invested in the story of Klal Yisrael. This is not an afterthought. This is central. Kadosh Baruch Hu is already conveying to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov what's going to happen in their lifetime. And Rabban and others are trying to see how much of the things that were already happened, or of the events that we know from Nevi'im that will happen in the future, where can we find Ramazim to... where can we find Ramazim to this in Sefer Bereishis? It's conceivable there are events that have happened since Ramban that were not predicted directly by Navi, but have since actually happened. There also, we can look and see perhaps the struggles over water in Eretz Yisrael is Ma'aseh Avosim L'Banim. Chafiras Habaros might be Ma'aseh Avosim L'Banim to contemporary events as well. And I leave you one final point. When at the end of the Ramban, the Fikach Hechazek HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'aretz. What does that mean? Aslo Dimyos B'Chala Aslo Yasos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu have acted all the so many different events in Jewish history that we understand. What's that? Hechazek HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Machzik Avram in Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It could just mean the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu had Avram come to Eretz Yisrael in the first place. And they're going to go down to Mitzrayim anyways. So why do the Avos have to come to Eretz Yisrael? It could be that's what he's trying to say. The Avos coming to Eretz Yisrael was a Ma'aseh Avosim L'Banim for Klal Yisrael coming to Eretz Yisrael later. As Ramban goes on, Ramban begins to break into details. He does point out they come to Shechem. Avram comes to Shechem. Just like later on, they're going to come to that area. And so on and so forth. He might also be saying, Hechzik, and more in the specific sense, of the La'orkul Rachba Kilachat Tivenu. That the reason why Avram, Gemara has a debate whether walking through Eretz Yisrael was a formal kinyan or not. If it was a kinyan, Imamish took possession of Eretz Yisrael legally on behalf of Klal Yisrael. But if not, then the question is what's with the La'orkul Rachba? And then maybe that was a Paul Dinyon to Mechazek Nevuah, that Klal Yisrael, he wasn't taking ownership of it now, but that was the Mechazek Klal Yisrael's hold on Eretz Yisrael in the future. That maybe the significance of that too was a Paul Al-Dimion. But these are very, very important concepts. The idea of the Paul Al-Dimion, the idea, the awareness, the sensitivity to Nevuah Shehut Shechol Doros, that every story, every line in Tanakh is Nevuah Shehut Shechol Doros, and the way in which that shapes the sort of questions that we ask when we learn Tanakh, and noticing that the greater degree, this is what we started with, the greater degree of detail that all of a sudden comes into Chumash, starting with Lech Lecha, speaks to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu is now demonstrating his particular involvement with the story of Klal Yisrael. And it begins from the very beginning. For the stories of the Yavas are the beginning of Klal Yisrael, and they're also Nevuahs for Klal Yisrael in the future. These are the decisions that we make are of far more importance than we realize. Where each of us is a critical part of a story that's a national story that's far more important than we often give ourselves credit for. And to realize that the story of Klal Yisrael was already being written in Chumash Bereishis by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Ma'aseh Avos, that's a big machayev. It's very exciting, and it's a big machayev. Your life matters. Your decisions matter. You're part of an incredibly, incredibly important story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incredibly, incredibly invested. These are some of the many lessons that we draw from Parshas Lech Lecha. Question? Yeah, it's a good question. Why don't we do Paul Dimi more often? I don't know. Why don't we blow Shofar more often? Shofar is also. I don't know. It's a good question. I'm just saying, let's say, okay, I'm not going to do it every day, but let's say there's someone at home is sick. There's some severe tzara. And let me make your question stronger. The psukim do say that when there's a severe tzara, there is an idea of hariosam b'chatzotros. We do blow chatzotros, which is not identical to, but sort of similar. Tekiyah Shofar, and that could happen any time of the year. As a matter of fact, 1973, the Magen Avraham, the Sar Shulchan Aruch, has a discussion on whether this mitzvah applies outside the Beis HaMikdash. In 1973, that was the first time the State of Israel was at war after having retaken the Old City in 67, there was a group of Kohanim who blew Chatzotros at the Kotel. Now, the whole debate at the time, now, is that actually a mitzvah say deraisa or not mitzvah say deraisa? But that's what the Pesukim describe. Right, so you're saying Pesukim do describe true at other times the Esar. So why don't we have Paul Dinu the Esar? I don't know. That's a great question.